This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Insists he's willing to negotiate with Republicans. It's all about the push-pull of a big price tag for infrastructure. Meanwhile, in Minnesota, an officer who shot Dante Wright meant to use a taser but fired a gun instead. And in Minnesota, there are high stakes as the Chauvin trial is nearing an end. The shooting death of Dante Wright just added to the fears, I think, of the unrest after what will happen after that verdict. Hey, hey, everybody. How's it shaking in your part of the world, wherever you hail from? Kate Delaney, thanks for hanging with us. As always, remember, 24-7, you can hit me up through the miracle of the Internet, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. We're going to the mailbag in our next segment. Plenty of opinions about Dante Wright. Let's talk about it if you haven't heard about it. The latest thing that's happened is that that community couldn't be more on edge, first of all. So less than 24 hours after an officer with the Brooklyn Center Police Department shot and killed Dante Wright, Police Chief Tim Gannon played an unedited clip of police body cam video showing the fatal incident for the media and members of the community at a City Hall news conference. And the officer was identified on Monday evening as Officer Kim Potter, who had been with the department for 26 years. She's on administrative leave. The city faces a second night of protests, which they had, even after the mayors of Minneapolis and St. Paul each announced curfews. At 6 p.m. local time, an hour before curfew, hundreds of people joined Wright's family for a vigil held at the site where he was killed. The one-minute clip played by the police chief at a very tense, as it's been described to me, news conference started with two male officers approaching Wright's car, one on either side. After a brief conversation, this was a traffic stop, after a brief conversation, the officer on the driver's side takes Wright out of the car and begins to handcuff him. Wright begins to struggle, and a third officer, a woman, approaches from behind to assist. As he struggles, the third officer is heard threatening to use a taser on Wright in the chaotic 7 seconds that followed. The female officer, who already had a weapon drawn, is heard yelling, "I'll tase you," then taser, taser, taser before firing. Immediately after, she's heard saying, "Holy blank, I shot him," realizing that she had fired her service weapon instead of the taser. So they're describing it as an accidental discharge that resulted in the tragic death of Dwayne Wright. The Minnesota governor expressing his sympathies to the family, Tim Walz, during an afternoon news conference, saying it was important to acknowledge we don't have to continue having these press conferences and having what may be a routine traffic stop and a 20-year-old dead, a family devastated, and a community on edge, because that's a good description. So as I mentioned, this was an officer who had been on the job for 26 years, Kim Potter, and she realized what happened in the fatal mistake. But in the midst of all of this, you have a 20-year-old who is gone, Dante Wright. So we'll see where this all ends up. But this, again, is in the time period, the window of Derek Chauvin's murder trial, where you've had a lot of emotional testimony. You have Philonise Floyd, the brother of George Floyd, with pretty emotional testifying in the murder trial. And prosecutors are going to formally rest their case on Tuesday after 2 weeks of testimony. And this last one was probably the most emotional, because he talked about growing up with his brother, who he described as a father figure in the house when their single mother struggled to make ends meet. He said he was the spark of life. He said he was, a mama's boy, and Mama has been devastated by her death. He told the jury the last time he saw his brother alive was at her funeral in May of 2018. Floyd had moved to Minnesota in 2017, didn't make it back to Texas before his mother's passing. The brother told the jury about seeing his brother crouched at her casket grieving, and went on and on like that to talk about memories. Chauvin will formally begin his defense on Tuesday. Could wrap up, they say, by Thursday. Closing arguments are expected to take place next Monday. Earlier than many involved in the case had predicted. That's not what I had heard from people either. So there could be, I mean, potentially there could be a verdict next week. Eric Nelson, Chauvin's attorney, hasn't offered the full scope of his planned defense for the former officer, but he told the jury he plans to bring in medical and use of force experts to dispute the prosecution's arguments that Chauvin's restraints of Floyd was excessive. And, of course, that has happened a little bit already. That would be pretty fast if this goes to the jury next Monday, but it could, based on what the defense is saying, that they need a couple of days. And with the prosecution resting, that certainly changes it. And then now you have, like I said, to start things off on that path, the 20-year-old, the shooting in the suburban Minneapolis, just tragic is what that is. It's just tragic. And it just stokes more of the same. And, of course, we're out there protesting, and police were saying you have to go home, and don't know if that's going to last through the rest of the week or not, I guess, at this point. We move from that to the pandemic and the vaccinations and how many people have received shots, and vaccine appointments are going unfilled in clinics and pharmacies. Now, a lot of them in the beginning were filled up, and it was the vaccine Hunger Games. But now there are people who don't want to get a second shot or don't want to get a shot at all, so they're not signing up the way they were in the beginning. A COVID-19 study revealed a lot of death disparities between Latinos and whites. I'm sure you're not surprised by that. I mean, we've talked about it before. And we've had people on who have talked about it, by the way. They say Latino in California, Latino people in California were 2 to 8 times more likely to die of COVID-19 than non-Hispanic white people. This was a study from the University of California in L.A. that examined the toll from summer through late January. And why is that? Because essential worker categories, farm workers, construction workers, front lines. And the disparity deepens when researchers analyze young groups. Latinos aged 65 to 75 die 4 times faster than the rate of white people. Ages 50 to 64, nearly 6 times. And ages 35 to 49, 7 to 8 times. Wow. And again, I think, as I said, so much of that is being an essential worker. All right, you have spoken. We're hitting the mailbag next.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
With more people at home due to the pandemic, it's more important than ever to keep small lithium coin batteries away from children. On a mission to help keep families safe, battery brand Duracell and the American Academy of Pediatrics have joined forces to power safely. Bobby Mendez, president of Duracell North America.
Well, Duracell, we're very proud of be teaming up with the AAP in this shared mission of keeping children safe. And at the heart of the effort is a campaign to raise awareness.
Duracell has also come out with a bitter coating on their most popular lithium coin batteries.
And what this does, it discourages the child from swallowing the battery. So that's really the at the heart of the innovation.
Duracell and the AAP urge all parents, caregivers, and pediatricians to learn more about lithium coin battery safety at Duracell.com or HealthyChildren.org.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's get in the mail bag.
And once again, thank you for all the mail. It's insane how much we get. Trent, listening to us in New Orleans, says, wow, Kate, the mistake of drawing the weapon, shooting, and not doing the taser thing is incredibly costly to a family, to obviously the man, Dante, who was part of, who was that traffic stop victim at 20 years old, to his family. Just crazy to hear that story. I just did a double take, and I'm sure the mayor is doing whatever he can to keep a lid on things, but it has to be pretty bad. I heard they got rid of the city manager. They did. They dismissed the city manager, you know, in like a day, 4-1 to relieve him, saying he didn't show any leadership when this whole thing was unfolding, and boom, that's it. And the family, of course, naturally, is stunned, and they want justice. But what is justice? This woman was on the force as a police officer, obviously. She was on the force for 25 years. She mentioned grabbing the taser, but she didn't, and shot him instead and killed him. He ended up dying. Wow. Got a bunch of thoughts on what's going on in Minneapolis. This one from Brad, listening to us in Connecticut. Do you see that tear gas they had to fire at the protesters? Kate Delaney, the second night of protests. Wow. The body cam footage of Dante Wright's shooting is just damn depressing. And the fact that this was all about confusion of a gun and a taser, I don't know how that happens. I know heat of the battle, momentary lapse in judgment, something, but that's more than a lapse. To me, it's outrageous, and I can only imagine how tense it is in Minnesota. And I got another one. I'm going to go to this one, too. This one is from Jiffy, who says, Kate, I am so tired of seeing a police officer in front of a mic giving details of a killing, talking about the body cam footage and that the officer was shocked and the fact that the kid that they stopped was mortally wounded. It just is tragic. It's a tragic killing. And two wrongs won't make a right, so let's hope cooler heads prevail in the community, especially as they're waiting to see what happens with Derek Chauvin. Yeah, you know, people are asking about the tasering and the weapon, and I was looking at something today, or maybe the other day, about the expert saying that the gun should be holstered on the officer's dominant side of the body, the taser should be placed on the non-dominant. So if you are right-handed, the gun should be on the right side and the taser should be on the left side. And the reason you carry the taser on the opposite side of your handgun is to avoid that kind of thing. And that's what people who are trained in their enforcement analysts, that's what they're saying. And at the Brooklyn Center Police, they say they're trained to follow that practice, that they train with the handguns on the dominant side and the taser on the weak side. So, you know, was it on the wrong side? Was it on the right side? These are all things that they're looking, they, the police department, are looking into, you know, right now. I mean, you keep hearing the same thing over and over. Deepest sympathies, terribly sorry. Oh, what a tragedy. Oh, mix-ups. Oof, boy. We're too many times. Too many times we've been here. That's for sure. Okay, let's move on. This one comes to us from Carly, who says, Kate, did you see Nikki Haley says she'll support and not challenge Donald Trump if he runs in 2024, the former UN ambassador backing her one-time boss? Yeah, that was kind of, well, we knew it was that was coming. I mean, we knew that was Nikki Haley was saying such things. Here's the question. It brings up the question that we've talked about before is, does Donald Trump run again does he run again in 2024? And if he doesn't, if he doesn't do it, who runs? And also Nikki Haley, does Nikki Haley end up being, I don't know, a VP candidate with Trump? It's crazy to be thinking of it. Didn't we just get through an election? It's crazy, but this is how we do it in America. Before you know it, it's 2024, and you have to really run 2 years ahead of time. He certainly has still a platform. He definitely does. All right, how about this one from Michael? Michael. This is, I have a cousin name. It's my favorite name, Michael. Michael says, Kate, I get scared to death every time I listen to you and I hear about these bloody variants. What do we know? What's new about the variant, which was, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, identified first in the UK? Does it make you more sick? And what happens if you're vaccinated? Does it affect that? Well, there's all these studies that are going on. And one of the studies that was published on Monday, the Lancet Infectious Diseases, found no evidence in a sample of hospitalized patients that the B.1.1.7 variant is associated with severe COVID-19. However, the variant was associated with an increased viral load, which supports the growing evidence that it's more easily transmitted. So there's the bad news in that. Oof, easier. Easier to transmit this thing. Most of the patients that hospitals are seeing, I shouldn't say most, a big chunk of them now are younger. That's scary, because before it used to be, well, and it's scary all the way around, but before it used to be, oh boy, you know, if you're young, you're safe. Famous last words, because nobody's safe from this. It's so elusive. I'm trying to figure out what causes what and where it all ends up. I mean, there is no end. I don't think there is an end. I think this is something that is always going to be maybe a little latent, but it's going to be in the background. I can't imagine it's not in the background. It will be. No question about it. It will be in the background of our lives. So that's the bad news. Okay, here's this one from Tom. I think I can just get this in. Kate, I keep hearing about the J&J vaccine. I hear about Pfizer and problems with Pfizer. But now I think I read that Pfizer is going to okay its vaccines for kids 12 to 15. And you look at some of the Pfizer problems, the side effects, I guess you'd have to say to yourself, is it worth it? But it seems like as a parent, that might be a wild decision to have to make, especially if you don't feel comfortable with it. Well, Pfizer and BioNTech on Friday asked for the Food and Drug Administration to allow their COVID vaccines to be used on younger people, you know, adolescents, 12 to 15. It's already 16 and up. And the trial results released recently, the company showed that their vaccine prevented all COVID-19 symptomatic disease in trial participants who were 12 to 15, and that's large numbers of protective antibodies in that age group. But the companies will follow all of them, more than the 2,200 trial participants, for 2 years after their second dose. And they're doing that to see what happens with the dose and also for the protection of the people, right? Of course. By the way, here's some, because I got a couple of questions about, is there any requirement here? Is there a requirement here? So I'm going to give you some of the requirements. Nashville's not going to require face masks to be worn in outdoor settings. The city announced that on Friday. Mask requirements do continue indoors. And they are telling people, please wear your mask, but it's not necessary inside. I mean, or it is necessary inside, but it's not necessary outside, is what they're saying. Joining the ranks of Rutgers, Notre Dame, and Cornell, Duke University is going to require all new and returning students to present proof of COVID-19 vaccinations to student health officials before they can enroll for the fall semester. Ooh, so you can't enroll if you don't do it. Participants in this year's Boston Marathon have to be, or they're talking about, might be required to show proof of up to 2 negative COVID-19 tests before the race. Oh, me, oh, my, oh. Oliver Levette talking about what's going on in Las Vegas.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Protesters clashed with police for a second night following the fatal shooting of a black man during a traffic stop in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. Police said Monday that the shooting of 20-year-old Dante Wright during a struggle with police was accidental, as the officer involved mistakenly drew her handgun instead of her taser. The officer involved in the shooting has been identified as Officer Kim Potter, a 26-year veteran of the Brooklyn Center Police Department. She's been placed on administrative leave. Hundreds gathered Monday night outside the Brooklyn Center Police Department. Protesters reportedly threw bottles, fireworks, bricks, and other projectiles at police officers. Multiple dispersal orders were given, with police eventually using tear gas and pepper balls to disperse the crowd. And President Biden is expected to name former senior Pentagon official Christine Warmoth to become Army Secretary. If confirmed, Warmoth would be the first female to lead the Army. She also previously served as Undersecretary of Defense for Policy under former President Obama. You're listening to USA Radio News. President Biden sat down with Republican lawmakers Monday to try to sell his more than $2 trillion infrastructure plan. Tim Berg has more details.
President Biden meeting with Republicans at the White House on Monday to discuss his $2.25 trillion infrastructure plan. Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy on why the meeting is taking place.
I mean, the whole point of this meeting is to try to get Republicans to vote for the bill.
Yep.
But we've got a lot of questions. The door's open. It's heavy. But the door's open.
That audio, courtesy of Fox News, from the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
And the government of Japan says it will begin to release water from the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant into the Pacific Ocean in 2 years. The treated radioactive water has been accumulating at the plant since the 2011 earthquake that damaged the plant's reactors. Tokyo Electric Power, the operator of the plant, says its capacity to store the water will be full by next year. The decision has been fiercely opposed by local fishermen and residents. This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
You know, folks, I was talking with my honey the other day, my Pablo honey. I said to her, I said, Pablo honey, you go to my head, my radio head. Okay, computer.
When you were here before, couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather.
Oh, boy. I miss those sounds. The sounds of Vegas and hanging out in the lounge at a very, very late hour. But you know what? There's no clocks on the wall and there's no one to tattle. I used to live there. And I discovered the excitement of Cookie Jar and so many others. Right now in our virtual green room, Oliver Lovett is with us. He is a leading researcher, academic, writer, strategy consultant, and he's an expert in customer-facing real estate and the evolution of Las Vegas. In fact, he is a serving on the faculty at the University of London Business School in London, and he's a contributor to many exciting magazines and periodicals that I myself read. The Global Gaming Business, he's a columnist at Gaming America and Gambling Insider Mag. So, and he knows about the strategic trends in Las Vegas. Oliver, thanks so much for coming on.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm excellent. I miss my Vegas fix. I lived in Vegas for 4 years, and everyone in my life crawled out from every corner, every nook, every cranny to come and visit. It was exciting and fun. I got to know a lot of people, and it's very weird to see this past year when the lights went dim on the Strip, but now the lights are being turned up, I hear. What's happening in Vegas?
Well, the governor is due to announce that, you know, next week the restrictions will be lifted and we'll be at 50% capacity for showrooms and casinos and restaurants. The shows then crank up with, you know, like the Absinthe opening up the following week. And, you know, we're expecting Las Vegas to have a, you know, a strong recovery leading up to September. And then conventions start rolling back towards the end of the year, 2022. And we get this, you know, COVID nightmare behind us and go on to be the greatest city in the world again.
There you go. I love that attitude. It's perfect. And you have the you, by the way, have the excellent Nevada accent. Where'd you get that accent? Via Scotland,
yeah.
Right?
From the streets of Scotland, streets of Glasgow. It's funny. So when I first came to Las Vegas back in 97, there were no direct flights from the UK. And if you wanted to come here, you had to go via Dallas to Chicago. And I visited with my parents on a road trip when I was 21. And I said, Dad, I want to live in this city. You know, it was the 90s, the Bellagio was being built, Paris was being built. And he said, this is not a city for a nice middle-class boy from Glasgow. And it took me 20-odd years, but I made it out here in the end.
And did it live up to your expectations?
Well, unfortunately, I've lived in several cities in Europe. And I think there is something unique and special about Las Vegas. It really is the only 24-hour city that I've ever lived in. And if you're a night owl, and if you like, you know, going out for a beer at 2 o'clock in the morning or working through the night, it's a great place.
It is. That's what I said. There's no clocks on the wall. People would come and visit me, and, you know, if you wanted to get your dry cleaning done at 3 a.m., you could get that done. If you wanted to have lobster and steak, you could have that. You could have great music from whatever lounge, you know, you decided to crawl into. And that part of Vegas, there's no question. There is no time. It's like you lose track of time. So you said
sorry, carry on.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, it's not like London. If you live in London or New York, which are these other great 24-hour cities, so to speak, there's no respite. You know, you're stuck in them. You can drive for an hour and you're still in New York or still in London. But here, you know, 20 minutes, you can be in the desert and have, you know, tranquility and solitude.
Yeah, that's true. And I experienced that when I lived there. I mean, you go to the Hoover Dam, you go beyond that. You can go to the Grand Canyon. You're right. The desert is absolutely right there. It's not about the desert, though, and getting ready for these shows. You mentioned the shows. So are they having rehearsals?
They are. I got a text message from a friend of mine today who sent me a video of some acrobats getting back into gear. And what's been difficult, I think, for many people who do the shows is they have to stay in shape. So if you're an athlete or you're performing something like Absinthe or Cirque, you know, you have to be at the peak of your physical ability. And if you're not doing shows, it's been very, very difficult, you know, for all of these athletes to, you know, stay in shape. But, you know, people are in rehearsals, and I just hope that, you know, people want to come back to Las Vegas and see these shows again.
Yeah, no kidding. You were telling me an interesting statistic about how many people normally come to Vegas versus what happened during COVID. It was a big drop, wasn't it?
Sure. So the last couple of years, we've been above over 40 million visitors. Last year, it was 43 and change. And what you saw as of March, the casinos closed down voluntarily, and then they were forcibly shut down by the governor. So we had a period where the casinos were shut. We've had no conventions, no international business this year. And we're looking at 19.5 million visitors in 2020. And what that says is, even despite the fact there's been no shows, no conventions, no concerts, no sport, people still want to come to Las Vegas.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're calling it the Roaring Twenties, and I think things are going to explode big, and Vegas is going to be one of those places that is going to explode. Don't you feel that?
It wouldn't surprise me if next year is a record year for gaming revenue. I still think we'll be a little bit off in terms of visitation, because I think the conventions will have a slower return, and that some of that midweek visitation will be challenged. But I can tell you anecdotally, a lot of my friends from Europe and from all over the world, they are desperate to come to Las Vegas. And I'm sure your listeners are too. Everybody just wants to meet up in Las Vegas. And, you know, geographically, we're, you know, a couple of hours from everywhere. And it's much more fun meeting in Las Vegas than it is meeting in, you know, Denver.
Yeah, no offense to the people in Denver. I agree. And it is a meet-up place, and it's different than what Vegas used to be like or what people thought it was like. I mean, it's just got a little of this and a little of that. There's always something to do. And so the vaccination process, it sounds like, went smoothly or is going smoothly. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, the frontline workers, a lot of them are being vaccinated. So the casinos are generally becoming much more safer. But you know, the spread is not as bad as it is in other cities. I think 9% of the population of Nevada have been vaccinated by now. And what you're seeing is, because of those vaccinations, the city is opening up things that are just completely shut in other cities. I mean, Omni, a nightclub, opened its terrace over the weekend. Granted, with a limited capacity, but it's an outdoor terrace nightclub. And the pool parties, I mean, the weather's been great here. So the pool parties opened last week. Granted, socially distanced and reduced capacity. But if you go to California, California's a ghost town. Las Vegas, if you wandered out there, other than the face masks, which are compulsory still, you wouldn't realize how bad this pandemic has been, especially over the last 12 months.
Yeah. You know, you did some research on Vegas and what people were coming for, and, you know, kind of the, it's interesting, you did a blog that I was reading earlier today, Is Las Vegas Missing a Marketing Opportunity, and City of Signs, and tell us about that and what you learned.
Well, this is me being an academic now, because I think Las Vegas is one of the most interesting cities in the world to study. And if I may, if anyone who's interested in business or competitive strategy, I was interested in reading my work, just take a step back and have a look at Las Vegas, because for a long time it was like a maligned city. You know, people said it was a sunny place for shady people, whereas the history of the 70s, 80s, 90s, academic rigor and study of Las Vegas became something of some note. My hypothesis is, if you look at the Strip and Fremont, the casinos are selling the same product at the same time, in the same place, to the same people, in the same price. You know Las Vegas. You can go and play a blackjack table at the Wynn, which is probably the leading property in town. And it's the same blackjack that you're playing at Circus Circus or Excalibur, which are completely different properties looking for different customers. So the challenge you have from a business perspective is, how can you drive competitive advantage within the market if you're selling the same product?
Right. Yeah, fascinating. Where can people find you, Oliver?
I'm on Twitter. I'm Ollie Lovett, OlyLovat. And I post on LinkedIn and, again, the magazines that you mentioned.
Perfect. Well, I can't wait till we meet up in Vegas. Ollie, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much.
All right. Oliver Lovett from Las Vegas, talking about the city that never sleeps, really. They say New York is the city that never sleeps, but honestly, it is Vegas. And you heard what he said. You'll see the gaming, the shows, all that stuff, of course, opens up. But the big conventions, there were so many conventions that went to Vegas. In fact, as a speaker, as me out there speaking, the two biggest places for conventions in the United States, Orlando, Florida, and Las Vegas, just on the same par right there. And I think they both bounce back, but I do believe he's right. It happens late in the fall and really into 2022. Mic drop, that's coming up.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113.
That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
To the show for any time, you know that I love stories about time, going back in time, what is time, I mean anything related to it, seriously. So I am thrilled to welcome to the show D.R. Carenza. He's written a book called Counterclockwise, A Story of Time Fatigue. This novel will pull you in, and I have a surprise. He sent me a copy of it. I read it, and I'm going to give it away to a lucky listener to spread the word. I like this book so much. I am so busy, and it is so tough for me to get through any books, but this one I absolutely did. I was reading the tail end of it at a car wash. So, Dennis, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, you're certainly welcome. We have to be here.
So let's talk about, you talk about counterclockwise, what people, your take on this and your, the way you wrote this is, and the portal that you talk about, it's more about time fatigue. Explain what that means.
All right. In order for them to survive and travel in time at about the same time, of course, I set it up so that, the time was getting weary. Time had been going on and on and on for all these many years, and time itself was getting weary. And the way I use the word fatigue, it sort of worked on energy. When the sun was up, they had normal operations. They could do what they needed to do, fish, hunt, play club, cards, drive, do their normal activities. But when the sun went down, the clock went backwards, and they would wake up the following day having lost all of that time because of the fatigue of time, because of the energy loss on the planet itself. And it went around the world that way, but of course they weren't aware of anybody else except themselves. and they continually went back uncontrolled. I didn't want to have a time machine. I didn't want to have dials to turn. I didn't want anybody to select a destination in time, as they've done many times before. And a lot of time travel books and stories focus on one big adventure, journey to the center of the earth or stuff like that. I wanted them to experience the whole new time every time they woke up. And that's the book was set up. And since they were going back in time, it was like a history book in reverse. They would wake up, let's say, in I actually know the dates here. Let's say the first time was back in 1780, and then back to 1530 and back to 1030. And there was a youngster among them. There were four fishing buddies and one son, a teenager, and brought a computer with him to do his homework. But that computer became very useful. He couldn't get online, of course, but he had an Encarta program with him, and he was able to look into the encyclopedia side of what they were going through. They were in a Winnebago, so they were well protected. And when this lightning struck, hit them and sent them on their journey, it actually created a little sanctuary for them, very small, but very necessary and very effective. So they had a little place to kind of call home, yet home was very small. And as they went back in time and each new venture hit them when they woke up in the morning, they usually did not know where they would be in time. They tried as well as they could. The youngster with the computer tried to track the time as well as he could. And he was doing a pretty good job at guessing. But he did discover something very frightful, and that they were going back exponentially. If they went back 50 years the first day, they would go back 100 the next, and then 200 after that. And you know where that leads. Mm. It leads to the end of the world. And within 28 days, they would have circumvented time to bring it to before creation itself. Now, the interesting part about this book is it continues like that, but I had a neighbor who read it, and while they were reading it, they said to me, "Mr. Carenza, I'm in the last day of your book, and I've got 20 pages left. How could that be?" I didn't answer them.
You're so sneaky. Oh, so brilliant. So I love it because you gave us a good gist of what the book is about. How did you come up with this, DR?
Well, I guess I just popped into my head. I thought I'd like to do a time travel book, but I'd like to cover so many things, and I didn't want to pick one. So I picked a bunch. I picked the Ice Age and the meteor showers and the dinosaurs and the Indians and the Great Flood and all of these things to give us a complete history of what the world went through and what these travelers went through and how much peril they were actually in and there are things that happened to them that are not you know happy things. I won't tell you, you know, who lives, dies, or whatever. But they had to struggle with a lot of things, and there was fear, there was danger, there was the light side as well. So it has pretty much everything, and they had faith, and faith is important in this book too because it does bring it back to the beginning of creation. But they had faith that they would turn around. They kept thinking they would turn back and go back home, and they hoped for that, and they never kind of lost hope. But there were other plans, and they were of course set by the great creator of all. So
that's
a lot of the book.
Absolutely, you get that. You say as you go backwards in reverse, history in reverse. 1780, etc., and all the way back. What do you hope people take away from, and you write about all different things. In fact, you say, and you said to me off the air that you don't write about the same things. What do you hope people take away from reading this novel?
Well, there's friendship. There's dependency upon, you know, one another, cooperation, and they have to get over a lot of these things, you know. There's survival, too. There's things and some tricks that they had to learn. There's a lot of education in this book. I'm not that I'm trying to educate anybody. I'm trying to entertain them. But that's in there. And maybe we're doing it, you know, subliminally. I don't know. they get a PhD at the end of the book, you know.
By the time it's said and done, they do get a PhD in that. So how does a civil engineer now have this, the way your mind works is obviously you're a creative person. Is this something that you always had in you, that you had the ability to be a fiction writer?
Well, I had a lot of experiences in my life, not fiction, you know, real things. And I didn't want to forget them because, you know, some of them were very funny. Some of them were tragic, but they were also funny. And the thing was, how could telling a tragic story to somebody make them laugh? That happened several times in my youth. And, you know, if somebody falls down the stairs and gets hurt, that's tragic. But if they fall down the stairs and they stand up laughing, it's comical. So the same event can go either way. And I found that in my life, there were many of both. You know, there were some sad points and tragedies, and there were some, you know, funny stories that came out of other mishaps. And I think that happens with everybody. You see, it's a comedian. Stumble, Red Skelton, some of these old guys, Abbott and Costello, the Three Stooges get hit over the head all the time, but people laugh at it because they know the danger isn't real.
Yeah, and I think that's the key thing there, absolutely. Counterclockwise, a story of time fatigue, D.R. Carenza. You can get it on Amazon, very easy to find. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.